Welcome to the Finding North podcast. I'm Chris Morris. This week's episode is a historical fiction story called A Man's a Man. Please enjoy. Stirling Bridge, 11th of September, 1297. Victory felt absolutely nothing like what Thomas had imagined. The cheering as the English retreated had been passionate, but it was followed immediately by despair and horror. Countless bodies lay strewn on the cold grass, staining it scarlet and washing it with carnage. Most of the dead were Englishmen, and some Thomas had killed himself, but others were his countrymen, his friends, men he had known for years. Soldiers committed to freeing their homelands from the southern invaders, now collapsed in a horrid mess. Nothing more than a sign of one particular scarcity lost in the day's victory. Ahead of this brutal scene, the bridge lay in ruin. The English soldiers, unfortunate enough to have been on it when it had collapsed, had plummeted below and drowned. Even the strongest of their swimmers could not contend with the weight of their armour. The waters ran red, taking all the anguish and pain of war to the east, where it might wash away and turn to nothing but history.
"Hamish! Hamish!"
Thomas's voice was becoming hoarse. He had been calling the young man's name ever since the last of the English army had sunk beyond the horizon on the other side of the river. They had become separated during the fighting, and when it was all over, Thomas had searched first with a growing joy among his fellow soldiers, and then with horror and panic among those scattered upon the grass. The panic had only risen at the thought that it would be near impossible to identify even the most familiar friend among the bloodied faces that stared at the clouds above. And even if it was possible to recognise these men, several of them were buried under ungodly amounts of other bodies. Thomas thought back to the battle, to the last time he saw Hamish. He had seen him slice through several of the Englishmen before his attention had been drawn back to the barrage of bodies clambering over the bridge. The battle had only been moments before, but had already felt distant, as though he had only dreamed it. But the looks in the eyes of his enemies as his own pike had pierced through their armour would surely haunt his sleepless nights for many weeks and months to come.
"Hamish!"
By now, Thomas wasn't even sure why he continued to call his friend's name. If he'd been nearby, and if he'd been alive, he'd have responded by now. Best to consider other options. What if he'd fallen into the river? He might have drowned, yes, but he might simply have drifted downriver. A foolish supposition, but it was better than to consider one of the other darker options trying to make themselves known in his mind. He decided to follow the river. His tired legs moved him forwards, and he followed the scarlet ribbons in the river to the east. Carrying his helmet under arm, he began to feel much cooler than before, and his pace quickened. The bodies in the river became fewer as he went, and none of them resembled Hamish. Once or twice, he spotted a disembodied limb or a head in the water, and allowed himself the smallest of grimaces before moving on. He was far from the scene of the battle now. The sounds of the Scotsmen behind had grown so distant that they might simply have been echoes inside Thomas's own head. The cries of "Wallace" and "Murray" sounded as energetic as ever, but as far away now as his hope of finding Hamish alive and well was becoming. But ahead of him, just at the bank of the river, was one more body. Unlike the others he had seen on his walk, this one was moving. The man was sitting by the rocks of the river, dragging himself away from it. Although Thomas could not have seen the man's face, he thought his laboured movements suggested that he was in some pain.
"Hello!"
Thomas called out, and he jogged forwards.
"Are you hurt, friend? Can I help you?"
But approaching the man, Thomas's stomach lurched at the sight of his garb. He cursed himself for not spotting the red's colour sooner, but the man had been so covered in muds and other things of unspeakable nature that it had been difficult to see. But the white line across the chest now appeared to glare up at Thomas, as though warning him to keep away.
"Now!"
the soldier cried. He held a bloodied sword, stained rose red, out towards Thomas.
"You stay away from me! You lot have won, just let me go in peace!"
Thomas had instinctively pointed the head of his pike towards the soldier, and remained steadfastly rigid, eyes fixed on the Englishman.
"Why shouldn't I kill you where you sit? My country bleeds because of you. Not because of me,
the soldier replied.
King Edward's the one who decided to invade you, not common men like me.
But you follow him, Thomas said,
just as I follow Wallace and Murray.
Look, the soldier said,
we could fight each other, or we could accept that the battle is over. I think you and I have both seen enough bloodshed for one day, don't you think?
The words made Thomas feel tired. His shaking arms felt the weight of the pike more profoundly now. Yes, it would be easier to drop the thing. Let it go, let this man go, and spend the rest of the day in peace.
You look hurt, Thomas said.
He lowered his pike.
What's your name?
James, the soldier replied, a tone of relief and a grimace in his voice.
I'm fine.
James tried to stand now, but the pain seemed to be coming from his leg. He groaned and fell to the grass, his sword falling away from him. He grasped for it quickly, keen for it to remain close at hand.
You need a tourniquet, Thomas said.
James looked up at the Scotsman with what must have been somewhere between a wince and a scowl.
What?
The wound, Thomas said, on your leg. I could wrap a bit of something around the top of it. Then you might be able to walk.
And why on earth would you do that?
Thomas looked back towards the battlefield. The English army could not be seen now, and many of the Scottish soldiers were now busy identifying dead bodies and carrying them away. He should join them soon.
Today has been a day of brutality, Thomas said.
You and I must both have killed many men. Perhaps if we can end the day with an act of friendliness rather than violence, then God may smile upon us and bless us. James's face seemed to lift slightly at the thought of it. He spoke no words, but Thomas decided to proceed with his offer of help regardless. He ripped a piece of cloth from his already torn shirt and knelt beside his enemy. The wound on James's leg was deep. If he was unlucky enough, fate would decide that his time in this world would end soon. Wounds such as these had slowly killed many of Thomas's own comrades.
What brings you out this way anyway? Thomas asked. You're about a mile away from the fighting. Some of us tried to flee, James said, pain in his voice as Thomas started binding his leg.
You boys came up with a corker of a battle strategy. Most of us saw where the fight was going.
Wanted no part of it. Why are you here?
Looking for my friend, Thomas said. He tied as firm a knot as he could in the material.
There, you should be able to stand.
Thomas took two steps backwards, giving the man room to move. Using his sword for assistance, James was able to pull himself up, even take a few steps.
Right then, Thomas said.
Now that we're feeling blessed, you better be off before I change my mind.
Go back to England,
and think again before you take orders from a greedy tyrant like Longshanks. James nodded with a certain amount of sneering and took a few uneasy steps away before stopping and looking at Thomas once more.
This friend you're searching for, what does he look like?
Tall, Thomas said. Almost as tall as Wallace himself. Long red hair, great thick beard. Have you seen him? James stood in thought for a moment before shaking his head.
No, can't say I have.
He walked away. Thomas wondered for a moment if he should perhaps now turn back to the battlefields and search there for Hamish. And he was about to do so when something at the bottom of a nearby tree caught his eye. Several bushes and shrubbery grew wild and tangled here, but coming out of the bottom of this was a foot. Deciding to investigate, Thomas walked over to it. He swiped at the shrubbery with his pike and cleared most of it away. A dead man lay there, no doubt, but his heart first raced and then plummeted to see the long red hair. Throwing his pike to the ground, he now wildly moved the branches out of the way. When he saw the man's face, he sat next to him in despair. His friend lay dead beside him, lifeless eyes staring at the sky above, while the last of the rose-red blood dried upon his chest. Thank you for listening to the Finding North podcast. Please follow the podcast on your preferred platform and head over to chrisamorris.com for all the latest. Next week's episode will be a horror story called Clickety Clack.